We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous.
Everybody come to the Breakfast Club. I call this the hot seat.
You're wild. Can I live?
You are out of control. I can't even deal with you.
Y'all are so petty. Why are y'all so petty?
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Captain of this bitch.
Angela Yee.
I stay in everybody's business, but in a good way.
Charlamagne the God.
The ruler of rubbing you the wrong way.
The Breakfast Club.
Ain't for everybody.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Sound like you underwater. Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet, it's Monday! Good morning.
Toronto, what up?
This room I'm in is extremely big, so I think it echoes a little.
Okay.
Oh, you're in a different location. Where you at, you?
I am in Mexico.
Oh, wow. We can do this in Mexico?
In Playa del Carmen. Yes, we can.
Yeah, hold on. So you mean to tell me
this? Anyway.
Well, all you need is internet?
All you need is internet. I just hope that the internet is good by the time people get up. Because, you know, once people start using the server, it starts getting the internet gets a little worse.
Oh, the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi gets worse.
Except I'm not using Wi-Fi, so.
Oh, you plugged in? Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good, good, good. Well, how was everybody's weekend?
Oh, mine was
nice
amazing. I'm in Playa del Carmen doing an opening for Rohan Marley's Beach House out here. So I'm out here for that. But in the meantime, I'm just enjoying myself.
Okay.
Oh, that's
all right.
And that's beautiful. And mine was very relaxing. It was very, very light. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel anything heavy this weekend, which is always a good feeling. It's always a good feeling to wake up and just feel light.
Yeah, mine was the same. I didn't do much. If you live on the East Coast, you had a heat wave. Well, the heat wave starts ends today. It's a heat wave is any 3 days consecutively over 90 degrees. So we had two. Today is going to be the third, and it's been hot. It's been warm outside, but I didn't do much at all. I just relaxed, man. That's the best thing about it. I relaxed. I went to my parents' house. Visited them, make sure their air conditioning was on, make sure they were good money, make sure everything was good with them because I knew it was going to be hot. I also met with the senator of that side of Queens. His name is Senator Leroy Comrie. And we just talked about things that we could do for the kids and the youth out in Queens to help to make sure violence stays down and to give more activities. He's been in that area for like 30, 40 years. So it was good to just sit down and speak with him. So that was pretty, pretty fun. But had a good weekend, man. I really, really had a good weekend.
Yeah, me too. I didn't do nothing. Got drunk by accident on Saturday. You know, you be at the house and you be so comfortable just minding your business. And next thing you know, you done drink a whole goddamn bottle of tequila. Not a whole bottle, but almost a whole
Goodness
bottle.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, yes, sir. It's a good feeling, though.
All right.
I'm a grown man. I'm an adult. Okay. I can do those type of things.
All right, all right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Buju Bantan will be joining us this morning.
Yes, legendary.
Yeah, we're going to kick it with Buju Bonton, talk to him. And we got front page news. What are we talking about?
Well, of course, we have to give our condolences to John Lewis's family. So we'll start with that, and then we'll talk about the NFL.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where are we starting, Yee?
Well, first, let's start with a rest in peace to John Robert Lewis. He had died after a six-month battle with cancer. We just watched Good Trouble also, which it's on Amazon Prime Video. So if you want to see that documentary, it shows what a great historic civil rights leader that he is and was, and how he has been honored and respected. His family also released a statement. They said, "It is with inconsolable grief and enduring sadness that we announce the passing of U.S. Representative John Lewis. He was honored and respected as the conscience of the U.S. Congress and an icon of American history, but we knew him as a loving father and brother. He was a stalwart champion in the ongoing struggle to demand respect for the dignity and worth of every human being. He dedicated his entire life to nonviolent activism and was an outspoken advocate in the struggle for equal justice in America."
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, everybody should watch everybody should watch the John Lewis documentary, Good Trouble, and I think that anyone giving John Lewis flack for getting, you know, beat down in Selma doesn't have the heart to even put themselves in that position. Also, they don't understand the mental strength it takes to put themselves in that position. And you should go watch how they used to take nonviolent training classes to ensure that, you know, they didn't react to the brutality. Yeah,
the classes that they had to take to prepare for people to be yelling racist slurs at them and attacking them. And you know, here's some of John Lewis in his own words.
"In 1963, we could not register to vote simply because of the color of our skin. 50 years later, the scars and stains of racism still remain deeply embedded in American society. The mass incarceration of millions of American immigrants hiding in fear in the shadow of our society, unemployment, homelessness, poverty, hunger, or the renewed struggle for voting rights. So I said to each one of us today, we must never, ever give up."
Ah, rest in peace.
Yes, he was only 23, and he was a keynote speaker at the historic 1963 March on Washington. He was a follower and colleague of Martin Luther King Jr. He's been arrested over 40 times, and that is for all the protests that he participated in.
Yeah, 40 times when he was a protesting. I think 5 when he was in Congress, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, some top NFL players are warning that the season is in jeopardy, and they are demanding that the league do more to combat coronavirus. Well, it looks like a coordinated Twitter barrage happened yesterday with top NFL players across the NFL calling on the league to enhance their coronavirus safety protocols. Russell Wilson posted, "I am concerned. My wife is pregnant. NFL training camp is about to start, and there's still no clear plan on player health and family safety." Byron Jones said the NFL continues to ignore major health and safety concerns, putting the 2020 season in jeopardy. "America wants to watch football, and we want to play. Make necessary changes."
Yeah, I was surprised about that. I thought they had all of that in place already. I thought that was the main reason that they was even starting the NFL season. I thought that would have been the first thing they did. Make sure that the, you know, players were protected and that it would be a healthy, safe environment for all. I didn't know they didn't have anything in place.
When the players start talking, they don't feel comfortable, that's a problem. They should feel comfortable. If players want to play, they can. If not, they can sit out. But all the players seem like they just don't feel comfortable.
Now, rookies are set to report as early as tomorrow, followed by quarterbacks and injured players Thursday, and the rest of the rosters July 28th. So that's what the plan is as of now.
I wonder if you get put on injured reserve if you get coronavirus during the season. I wonder about that about basketball and football. I guess we'll see, huh?
All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a horrible weekend and you're upset, or maybe you had a great weekend and you feel blessed. Whatever it may be, 800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Josh.
Hey, what up, Josh? Get it off your chest, brother.
Yo, I'm a flight attendant for an airline. I just want to get it off my chest for the fact that these people flying with no mask, or they feel like they, you know, nothing's going. Like, we just trying to do our jobs. We getting yelled at. We getting fought back. We trying to protect ourselves, as well as other people. And we on this flight just as you are. And we got to keep the mask on the entire flight, 4 hours, 6 hours, it doesn't matter. We got to keep it on. And then when you buy the ticket, it says you have to, it's required to wear a mask. It's policy. And then you walk on talking about, I don't have to wear it. What is the point of you flying? And what is the point of you following policy? If you feel like you don't have to wear a mask, you feel like somebody's mandating you to do it and you don't want to do it, rent a car, drive where you want to go.
Right. You can't just be worried about yourself. There's other people that are affected. And you got to fly with your mask on, and that's the rule. Or absolutely, get off the flight.
Yep.
I thought that it was mandatory, though.
It
that's
is.
That's what he's saying. But when they get on the flight, people take it off.
They want to take it off, or they say they don't feel like wearing it. Or, you know, you got those people, oh, it's not a law. I don't have to wear it. It's mandated. It's a policy by the company. And the company doesn't follow state rules. It follows federal. You go on by state laws, I don't have to wear it. No, it's airlines are federal law. And the airline changes their policy, is mandated to wear masks, have to wear the mask. And they complain,
right,
oh, I don't want to wear a mask this long. I've been flying 12 hours. I just did like 2-3 flights, and I had to wear the mask each and every one. You're complaining about 2 hours. You're going from New York to Florida, and you don't want to wear a mask.
What airlines need to do is start passing out parachutes and tell people on the flight, if you don't wear your mask, we're going to have to ask you to leave mid-flight.
Well, thank you, brother. You know what, too? And there's a bunch of different masks, and some masks are heavier than others. And people should know if you're going to be with a mask for a long time, carry one of those lighter masks that's a little easier to breathe. Because some of those masks that people make and they give out, they so heavy you could barely breathe through. So you just got to get the right mask.
And you know, it's interesting, when you eat or drink anything on the plane, too, you have to take it down for a second, so.
Mm-hmm. Hello, who's this?
You. What's up, Envy?
Hey, what up, Trav?
Hey, ye.
Happy birthday, Trav.
Thank you. What's going on, Charlamagne?
Hey, sis, what's the word?
Happy birthday, Trav. When's your birthday, today?
No, my birthday was Saturday. It's actually why I'm calling, just so you know.
Happy belated.
Myself.
All right.
It was a real one's birthday. You know, that good old cancer energy was in the air. You know, cancer gang is out here.
Okay.
Yes, sir. You know we here, baby.
Hey, we out here. Yee.
Yes, sir.
Did you check out what I sent you when I was on your live? You know, I mentioned to you that Beauty does reggae music. And you was really shocked by that. But she's actually Jamaican. So I sent you, like, a few of her, like, actual reggae records. So you should definitely check them out.
Yeah, she's really dope.
All right, y'all.
All right, now. Bye-bye. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, Participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Sonny out of Miami.
Sonny, what's going on? Get it off your chest, bro.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to Charlamagne about his issue with the 94 crime bill. I'm curious if he's ever actually read the entire bill and what part specifically he has a problem with.
What part specifically do I have a problem with? I'm pretty sure it's the mass incarceration that it caused.
Well, I mean, the mass incarceration is supposed to target drugs and get drug dealers off the streets, so of course it would increase the prison population, but what is the problem with that? I mean, did you want drug dealers on the street, violent drug dealers on the street?
What's the problem with a bill that disproportionately puts black and brown people in jail?
But black people were
that led to more prison sentences, led to more prison cells, over-aggressive policing.
I understand, but in 1994, if you were alive back then, I know you were back in South Carolina, but in the major cities, we had a major drug problem and a violent drug problem where they were shooting in broad daylight for drug territories and they were selling poison to our community. So if not stiffer sentences or putting people in jail, then how would you have proposed to deal with that problem?
Probably by backing grant programs, you know what I'm saying? That 94 crime bill imposed tougher prison sentences at the federal level, you know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of these people could have got some type of reform, you know what I mean? They could have went to rehabilitation for not just selling drugs, but for drug use. Like, they didn't have to go to jail for 20, 30 years for weed.
What I'm saying is,
they didn't have to go to jail for 20, 30 years for a 20 of crack cocaine.
So what I'm saying to you is if I'm a homeowner in Flatbush, Brooklyn, and my block is being terrorized by drug dealers who are shooting up the streets, my kids can't walk home safe.
Everybody wasn't shooting, though, is what I'm trying to tell you, my brother. If you go to jail for 25, 30 years for a 20 of rock or 25, 30 years for an ounce of marijuana, it's like, come on.
But those drug laws were targeted at specific groups of drug dealers. Now, did small...
They were targeted as African-American drug dealers. What he's saying is, yeah, you're right. There was drug dealers that were shooting and drug dealers that were shooting broad daylight. But also, it affected drug dealers that put them away for life for having small amounts of marijuana or small amounts of crack cocaine. It doesn't give people second chance. That's what he's trying to say.
I'm trying to explain that to him, but I don't know why that's going over your head so much.
Right.
Why are you hitting me with these heavy questions early in the morning? I just got here.
He's been waiting all week. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Stephanie. How you doing?
Hey, Stephanie. Get it off your chest.
Hey, man. I feel bad about this stuff that Kanye West said about Harriet Tubman yesterday. Everything he said was just absolutely inaccurate.
Well, you know what's going to happen. He's going to, in a couple of weeks, he's going to clear his Instagram and clear his Twitter and saying that he needs time off. He's going to apologize and say that he was dealing with some things. I bet you he does. That's what he does every time. He turns the stuff over and apologizes.
Kanye is dropping an album on July 24th, okay, called Donda, all right? That's what this is. Kanye West is dropping an album on July 24th called Donda, okay?
And we're
falling for the smoke screen again. All right.
Nobody thought he was having a bit of a breakdown, though. It looked a little bit like...
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what it felt like to me.
He's going to apologize. He's going to say he had a breakdown, and he apologized, and he's going to delete his Twitter and Instagram. And
no, he's not.
Watch.
He's putting out his album July 24th. I'm telling you. He's putting out an album July 24th called Donda. He actually put the track list out this weekend and deleted it.
He's going to delete his Instagram and Twitter and apologize. Watch. He's going to do the same thing. It seems like it always happens.
The sad part is I spoke to Kanye yesterday. And, you know...
Well, we'll talk about it in rumors.
Let's
talk about it in rumors, all right? Well, that is Get It Off Your Chest, 800-585-1051. Now, we got rumors on the way, Yee?
I mean, we might as well get right into it then. Let's talk about Kanye West and his first campaign rally.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it.
So Kanye was in South Carolina and he had his first presidential campaign event there. This happened Sunday evening, and that was a day before the state's deadline to file signatures as an independent candidate. He's running as an independent. And amongst the things that he talked about was Harriet Tubman and how she did not really free the slaves.
Harriet Tubman never actually freed the slaves. She just had the slaves go work for other white people. And that's no basketball association. It's not owned by any blacks. Universal Music is not owned by any blacks. Any celebrity that you see talking is not the real power. Because the real power that I am putting my life on the life today to speak about, you don't see them.
Very disrespectful statement. Very disrespectful to our ancestors. But it hurts me that I understand what he was trying to say. He was trying to say, even though Harriet freed the slaves, we are still not really free because we could never truly be free in a white supremacist society.
He ain't say nothing like that.
And yeah, completely disrespectful.
I know.
Definitely.
I know, but
didn't
but
come across that
said,
way.
Nobody ever said the fight for true freedom and true liberation was over, though. So I don't, you know, whatever.
So you spoke to him yesterday. What was the conversation like?
Exactly what I just told him. What he said was a very disrespectful statement, very disrespectful to our ancestors, and he was trying to explain to me what he said. He explained it in there, too, and he was like, you know, you still got to go to work and this and that, but I'm like, yo, work and slavery are two total different things. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're getting whipped across your back, and it's not like you're in chains, you know? But I do understand the concept of us not truly being free. That's why you got people out here on the front lines fighting against police brutality. That's why Intel Freedom and 87 protesters got locked up in Kentucky last week, fighting to get the cops who killed Breonna Taylor arrested. We are not truly liberated in this country, but because of people like Harriet Tubman, we are definitely closer to that true freedom.
So you are the Secretary of Defense. Okay.
Okay, yeah. You're doing a great job so far. In addition to that...
It's not what the Secretary of Defense does. That would be the Secretary of State, guys. Come on. Y'all went to college.
Secretary of Defending. All right, now he also talked about abortion. He also invited some young women from the audience to speak on stage about issues that concerns them. And here's what he had to say about abortion.
My mom saved my life. There would have been no Kanye West because my dad was too busy.
Okay.
He said he wanted to give everybody that keeps a baby $1 million.
$1 million. And he said abortion should be legal, but that there should be more support for those people who do need it.
You know, if they gave people $1 million for having a baby, you know how many people would be having babies?
All day long.
You know how many people?
All day long. You know
what I mean? Now, what if you adopt? Can you still get $1 million?
I think he said something like that, too. He said, like, it should be, what did he call it? I forgot the term he used, but it was a term that he said, yeah, even if you adopt a baby, you should get paid a certain amount of money as well. But I'm just saying, if people got $1 million per baby, that scam would be way better than credit cards.
I'm $5 million in right now. You know what? I can do another
five. Is it tax-free?
Tax-free? What?
How much do they tax that million?
Get up right now, boy.
Yeah, Kanye also said that marijuana should be free, and he did take some questions from the audience. Now, in addition to that, he did.
How about making marijuana legal first? How about that? Then make it free.
All right. In addition, he spoke to Chris Kalin, and she did an interview with him that she posted, and she asked him about who his running mate would be, and here's what he said.
So I'm not sure if you heard of Jade Simmons. She is a black woman who's also running for presidency. Have you thought about maybe teaming up with her?
So I reached out to Jade to possibly be my vice president, my running mate. You know who my favorite candidate for my running mate is?
Who?
I'm going to present it as a riddle to you. When we were trying to figure out my website, because everybody kept on stealing my website because now I'm in the dirty game of politics, right?
Right.
So they're stealing every option, right? So what I did is put the initials of this city down, and then I put Kanye 2020. Who would that be?
South Carolina. Oh, Sean Carter, Jay-Z. Now, that would be... Now, you would blow some minds with that one, because you blew mine. Did you present it to him?
Man, you know I ain't talked to my brother about like...
Hey, I mean, you know, it might be a new day. You never know. You run, this might change something. It's all you gotta ask.
First of all, drop on the clues bombs for the homie, Chris Kalin. That's my partner right there. And, yes, Kanye said Jade Simmons, who we had on last Friday. And just, I don't know if he was really thinking about Jay-Z or he was just in South Carolina, and South Carolina's initials are SC, so that's he was freestyling. I really don't know. I don't know.
You think Jay-Z would be up for the job? Or?
No, I think he'll pass.
Stop. Did y'all stop?
I think he'll pass.
Did anybody talk to Jay-Z to check and see if they're running together?
Stop. Listen, I know people keep saying Kanye isn't mentally well. They say Kanye needs to be on his meds. That may or may not be true. But we have to stop acting like this isn't Kanye. This is who Kanye is. This is who Kanye has always been. Money and status don't change who you are. It magnifies it. Kanye was like this when he was trying to be the best rapper producer. He was like this when he was trying to break into fashion. Now he's like this when he's trying to run for president. Also, we got to stop saying Kanye is a distraction, because everything is a damn distraction, and whatever we choose to give energy to is a distraction. We give Kanye West that energy. We don't have to pay Kanye no attention, but we do, because he's a person who's mastered Law 37 and the 48 Laws of Power, and that is create compelling skepticals.
Well, he is a presidential nominee.
Oh, stop. There's 100 other presidential nominees. You ain't talking about none of them. There's literally 100 other presidential nominees. Libertarian Party, the Green Party. We had Jade Simmons on last Friday, but then you can ignore those. We can ignore Kanye if we wanted to. You don't want to.
All right, now, Tamar Braxton's
sister. Soundbite's too good.
It is too good.
Are praying and want you to pray for their family as well, as I did do as I was reading all about this. But as you know, Tamar Braxton was rushed to the hospital in the late hours of Thursday, July 16th, and she took some prescription pills. She was drinking. Now the family is speaking out, and they're asking everyone to pray for our family. Tawanda Braxton, Trina Braxton, and Tracy Braxton all addressed this on their Instagram pages on Friday. And despite all of the drama that's been playing out, they definitely were at the hospital with Tamar, and they are turning to faith right now in their time of need. So fans are making sure that they pray for their family. And we will keep you updated on Tamar Braxton and how she is doing in the hospital. But I don't know if you guys saw this. She did write an email, and she's got some issues with her TV network that does their show. And she said, this has to do with the cruel white slave masters who once chained our forefathers and the oppressive police forces that now terrorize our communities. You needed to play into the stereotype of this dysfunctional black family. So you preyed on our fears, you heightened our insecurities, and you turned us against each other. Well, I hope those ratings were worth it, because you succeeded in destroying a great black family.
Mm. Damn. Prayers up for Tamar Braxton.
Absolutely.
It's,
I don't know why. It's that energy is in the air. I don't know why that energy of darkness, that energy of suicide, it's in the air. Like I said, I had two friends commit suicide in the month of June. And I've heard a lot of people talking about it in ways that I've never heard them talking about it before. I don't know what's going on out here, but I pray that spirit off everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Tamar was responding to WeTV. Executives had sent an email. They were talking about their efforts to support the Black community after the police killing of George Floyd. And then she responded with that email. And in addition to that, they said she was mad that she was supposed to be working with Mona Scott Young as the producer of her new show, Tamar Braxton Get Your Life. And that was another issue. She was unhappy with that person.
Well, Tamar and anybody else, you know, going through any dark phase of their life, pray and go to therapy, by the way. Okay? You got to have all that on deck nowadays. You got to have therapy. You got to have your sacred purpose coach. You got to have somebody to constantly talk to. Figure it out. Please, whatever you go with, and don't make no permanent decisions off temporary feelings, please.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Now we got front page news.
Yes. And we will be giving you an update on what's happening for the NFL season coming up, or, you know, what's not happening. We'll give you those updates.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where we starting, Yee?
Well, let's start with the NFL and what's happening. Top NFL players are saying the season is in jeopardy, and they want the league to do more to combat coronavirus. Players are demanding to be tested every day, especially given the hot spots that have recently popped up in different parts of the United States. And they also want to make sure they train. They also want to make sure the trainers, doctors, everybody is getting tested. Russell Wilson posted, "I'm concerned. My wife is pregnant. NFL training camp is about to start, and there's still no clear plan on player health and family safety." Malcolm Jenkins said, "It blows my mind that the NFL is unwilling to follow the recommendations of their own experts regarding player health and safety." So those are some of the concerns that they have. They said it's not clear what level of positive testing will require a team to shut down its operations and how that might be handled within the league's schedule. But they did say last week on Thursday, 72 players had tested positive so far.
Yeah, that's scary. I mean, that's scary being a player and not knowing and not feel comfortable going to work or playing with other players. That's very scary, especially, you know, Russell Wilson talking about he has a kid on the way. Yeah, I get him. I understand.
Yeah, and I also wonder why those things aren't already in play. I thought that would have been the first thing the NFL did to make it safe for them to even come back. Have something in
place. Well, you know, the season is going
to that type of stuff.
Kick off on September 10th. The Super Bowl is scheduled February 7th in Tampa still. And so they're moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now Donald Trump just did an interview on Fox News Sunday, and amongst the things he was talking about, of course, you know, being right is very important to him, and here's what he had to say.
I'll be right eventually. I will be right eventually. You know, I said it's going to disappear. I'll say it again.
Does that discredit
and
you?
I'll be right. I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so. You know why it doesn't discredit? Because I've been right probably more than anybody else.
Well, what if he's wrong? What if COVID-19 doesn't disappear? What if COVID-19 is like, let's say, racism or white supremacy or herpes? What if it doesn't go away? Then what, Mr. President?
Well, there's some questions he had to answer about that as well, and here was that part.
Trump, he tries to play it down. He tries to make it not seem as serious as it is.
No, this is very serious.
75,000 cases a day.
Show me the death chart.
Well, I don't have the death chart.
Well, the death chart is much more important.
But I can tell you, the death chart is 1,000 cases a day.
Excuse me. It's all too much. It shouldn't be one case. It came from China. They should have never let it escape. They should have never let it out. But it is what it is. And by the way, they're having surges.
Are 6,000 in the whole European Union.
They don't test. We find cases. And many of those cases heal automatically. We're finding, in a way, we're creating trouble.
You know, in moments like that, it really does behoove you just to take your L. I think people can respect it more if you just said, we dropped the ball. We got caught with our pants down. I dismantled the global pandemic team in 2016. I didn't take it serious enough. Hell, I'm not taking it serious now. We effed up. I think people can respect that a little bit more.
All right. Well, that is your front page news.
All right.
Also, real quick, though, it's amazing. It's amazing that Trump interview aired yesterday morning. And instead of focusing on that, we started paying attention to what the hell Kanye West had to say. And you got to ask yourself one simple question. Joe Biden, where you at? Where are your sound bites this weekend? Okay? Joe Biden needs some sound bites for the weekend, all right? Something. Kanye had a point when he said Joe Biden ain't never gave us no hot song or no dope-ass sneakers. That's a fact.
My goodness. All right. Well, that is your front page news. Now, when we come back, Buju Banton will be joining us. We'll kick it with Buju when we come back. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest and an icon on the line right now. We have Buju Banton. Good morning.
Good morning, brothers. How are you? Good morning
to The Breakfast Club.
Peace, brethren. Happy belated born day, too, man. You a Cancer like me.
Yes, Cancer is a very special month. If only the Cancerians know that their calling is special. And whenever they do, they behave like we do. Very vocal, very firm, very principled.
Well, I want to start off by saying congratulations. You know, I'm a huge fan of yours. You're one of my favorite artists of all time.
Oh, thank you very much.
Congratulations on Till Shiloh.
Thank you very much.
25 years, going gold.
Thank you.
Yes, classic album that I listen to this day. So I just want to first start off by congratulating you on that.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It was just a lot of work. And those who know the journey of Buju Banton know that it's quite hard for a son to get gold after 25 years, right? It's like the artist could have died in between all of that, right? But then if you look at the dynamics surrounding Till Shiloh, then, you know, you have to ask yourself that time is really the master. You know, some people, they go as far as say, how do you spend your time? You know, that's a misnomer, because you cannot spend time.
Mm-hmm.
When did you realize you had that gift? And I want to thank you and Butterfuku. Yes, you have a gift. And you and Butterfuku.
You also have the gift. We all have the gift. We are all created equally, but not equally appointed. So when you find your appointment, you work earnestly towards it and deliver, because you did not make yourself. We were created by the great I Am.
Thank you to Butterfuku and you. I was going to say that before. Y'all took care of my wife. That was her only birthday present. She wanted to fly to see you, and she went to Trinidad. No, Barbados. She seen you in Barbados, and she was so happy. So thank you to Butterfuku and you. But that was her soundtrack growing up, and now it became my kid's soundtrack growing up because we play it in the house. But what I realized is that a lot of artists nowadays, we don't have that same feeling. It's not that same connection. It's not that same message. So what do you say to
several me? Things are happening simultaneously. God does not make mistake. My emergence from the dens of prison was timely. I was indeed preserved for this time. The brothers' music, I cannot knock it. I can say to them and encourage them, look at this scenario. You got a kid, and your kid is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. You're taking that kid to school. And you're playing your music. If all your kids hear before he go into the classroom, I'm going to F her, I'm going to shoot him up, I'm going to sell this amount of smack on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing as a parent? So look at that scenario. If the music cannot be played in my car where my children is and can enjoy, and I don't have to turn it down and shut it off, then it's good. If it's a situation I have to take to those measures, I need to recalibrate what I'm doing.
Right.
I want something to uplift me. I want something to take me someplace else, not to let me wallow in my sorrow, but to give me that strength that let me know, Mark, it's going to be okay.
Right.
Where can I find it? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Buju, how hard was it to stay this positive when you were in that gated community? When you were in prison, how hard was it to stay positive like you are now?
If you're a in the streets, you're a in prison.
Mm.
It's a much smaller place for it to be revealed. So I was never one in the streets. So I couldn't be one in prison. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I find myself mentoring a lot of people at one point, you know, driving the car. You find that in those places are designed not only to break the human spirit, but to destroy the very fabric of the human mind.
Mm.
A weak mind cannot emerge strong from those places, gets weaker, because they spend every day trying to subdue it. They are not given the opportunities to learn and expound on new ideas and creative things, because, again, they said you're incarcerated, but then there is so much illicit stuff for sale that you wonder if you're really incarcerated. The challenge is, if you are not a man who have no foundation in spirituality, you're like a ship left to the wind. If you have even a modicum, even an iota, you will be okay. Because then you're in a place where you can cultivate your growth. You know, I was there physically, but not mentally. Never. I lived in my mind's eye. And in doing so, I cultivated peace, even against my oppressors. Because you cannot tell me that the greatest intelligence apparatus on earth who's able to see a needle in an ace that does not know that Bojubanta is not a drug dealer. So you have to relinquish that bitterness towards your fellow man. And I will not say, Father, forgive them because they know not what they have done. No, I said, Father, forgive them, but they know what they did. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right.
And that should be really hard for you because you know yourself, right? And then the media puts out a story that you know this is not how things went down, but they try to make it seem like you're engaged in activities that you know that's
yes. And that is the way it is in United Snakes of America's court system. The world cannot be kept in darkness forever, and a sister. The universe is calling out to us. Our wickedness has reached a level that even the angels cry. We have no love for each other. None. We destroy anything and everything that seems or appear to be good. We rush towards the evil. We flee from the truth. We're living an upside down existence, and all this have to stop.
Bougie, you know, you had got set up. Do you think that they targeted you to silence you?
Yeah, because there was a WikiLeaks report that came out from 2006 that said Bojubanta and a group of armed men assaulted a homosexual in Jamaica, and I got away scot-free, which was the furthest thing from the truth. What really happened, I had an altercation with a guy who came out of his mouth the wrong way and had to put him back in place. You know, and he didn't know his affiliation to any group or homosexuals or anything like that. And then he started using that as an angle, and all of a sudden, I find myself, my government sent a diplomatic attack to the United States Embassy, and I was on the radar from 2006. They always talk about neutralizing me. And then that wasn't a part of God's plan, so the Father removed me from them, you know?
Now, but you got, when you came home and you left that gated community, your first concert, how did that feel?
Amazing.
Talk about that.
You know, that concert was also a fulfillment of prophecy. Because it's written that unto Judah shall the gathering of the people be. And the people did gather from the four corners of the earth to see the son of Judah upon his return. Let me say something to you before I go any further. Uh-huh. Word is power. Okay. The word is power. In the beginning was the word. Let there be light, and there was light. The word is power. Now, if you use the word and you call upon demon, you call upon all kind of stuff, they will enter the portal. They will enter our realm as elementals, but through our dimension in sight is so limited, we might not be able to see them, but we can feel the energy shift. So that concert was also a closing of portal. We have to keep pushing positivity. There's no two way about it. The forces of evil are very strong and they are everywhere. But the forces of we, the good folks, have to keep fighting the good fight with word sound, positive energy, keep telling our brothers we love them, not only say, but practice it.
Right.
All right, we got more with Bojubanta. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Bojubanta. Now, after you were released and you did your first concert in Jamaica, there were so many people there. I seen the video. There was black, it was white, it was Asian. There were so many people there.
Yes. So the world came together in one day, and we celebrated music. We celebrated reggae music. And friends, Wayne Wanda, Beres Harmon, DJ Khaled was there, a friend of mine. You know,
Fat Joe said he wanted to go. Fat Joe said it hurt him that he couldn't go. Fat Joe was like,
"Well, Joey Crack, when him saw out on him flights, because Joey Crack, we go way back, you know. People don't even know that, but me and Pon, Joey, even Jabba, when he was a little kid,
he told me he was out up in the Bronx with Fat Joe walking through the
Macho,
hood in the Bronx.
You know what I mean? And all those guys. Yeah. Stefflon Don was there, Chronic, Coffee. Just beautiful.
Hold on, Bougie. You have to give me a good Fat Joe story, because Fat Joe is one of the greatest storytellers of all time. I know you and him got a story together.
Tell us I heard he took you in the Bronx. I heard he took you in the Bronx a couple of times. Tell us about those situations. A
couple of times? No, we were always in the Bronx. We'd be at Jimmy's in the night, because we normally go to the studio, like, you know what I mean? Normally, when I come to America, I would always be in Queens. In those days, Joey used to drive a green Mercedes, right? So If I'm at the hotel, I could tell this is the car because it would always be lean to one side.
That's when he was Fat Joe. That's when he was really Fat Joe.
Yeah, but we had good fun. You know, I mean, we make some good music too. It was always clean fun. You know, I'm a principal man, and you know, Joey's a principal man, so we get along fairly well. You know what I mean? We have a couple bumping in the club sometimes when some niggas try to act stupid. I mean, brothers acting like niggas. We don't like that. I really don't go to fight.
Now, Joe told me sometimes you might have had to put hands on somebody once or twice. They said, boo.
No, listen. We don't want to talk about them things then at this time, yeah, you know, because...
Come on, Evie, what are you doing?
old news. I don't like that about old things, you know?
Hey, he wearing a wire, Buju. He wearing a wire. He wearing a wire, Buju. Don't listen to him.
Joe is a man remember too much.
That's Java A right there. Let me ask you this, Buju. When you first got home, right, I know your business has always been good. So I know so many people had to be coming at you, asking you to do things. How did you figure out who you could trust, what moves you wanted to make?
I don't change my friends. Let's start there. I don't like new friends because I believe it takes time to know a person. I'm too old now to spend the next 20 years trying to figure out somebody. I don't snap into that. We can be acquaintance and we can be good. But friendship thing is something I take very dear. It's a brotherly thing. You know, I need time to know you. So I have a few friends. From 1996, I've been with Dana, Joey Butterfolk, who've been friends. Me, Joey, Khalid, DJ Taro, and Daddy Sal. Those are the guys who originally started Mix 96 down here in Miami in 1996. Right after Till Shiloh, and we became cool. Then Daddy Sal died, and we became even closer as friends, you know what I mean? But when I went to prison, I realized I really need to revamp my whole organization setting. So I called my friend up, and I really didn't have to call him because he was always there for me. DJ Khaled, because, you know, me and DJ Khaled, before you guys know him as the DJ Khaled, that's my boy right there. He must be honest. He must be loyal. He must have integrity. These are the traits that we have to start advancing our people towards so we can say, Charlemagne, I've got $10,000. Hold it for me. I'm going to Timbuktu. And when you come back, you say, Buju, here's your $10,000, man. How was your trip? You don't give me $9,950 and tell me $1 drop in the toilet. And this is the change you got out. You know what I mean? So until we can become a people where we can really and truly, you know, we need to work on these things.
You know, Buju, I know that I read in Billboard that you don't consider yourself an icon. And I'm going back to the concert for a second because the Minister of National Security, when you came home, he said you didn't deserve a hero's welcome. So I wonder what your energy is on that.
You have to understand, Jamaica is a farmer plantation country. We don't have racism, we have classism. Mm. He have his opinion and he's entitled to it because even a dog is entitled to his own opinion. He chooses who to bite and who not to bite. But I can tell him one thing. He is not a hero neither. I am not an icon and I am not a hero. I have never claimed to be one, but I don't think he is one either. And I don't think he will ever be one either. And I can assure him that the name Butch Banton will be more remembered than his. What did you say his name was again?
I know his title. I can't remember his name.
So these things, because I didn't live my life predicated on being a king of the dancehall or a king of reggae music or an icon, because I see these and superstar, all these monikers, I see these titles as things they used to fool my people. Because when you shoot the title away and you look at the character of the person that they attach these things to, you want to run far away. I'm just a man with my music. I want to be a servant to the people. You know what I mean?
You know what? Did you watch the Versus battle with Beanie Man and Bounty Killer? And
yes.
What was that kind of like to see them together in the room?
That was beautiful. And I like the fact that it didn't wild on into a situation where they were arguing and creating more division, but unity. Because when people hear about a Beanie Man and Bounty Killer situation, the first thing come to their mind is a brawler, all-out clash.
Yes.
All-out situation. And they did not do that. They disappoint all that negativity. And that, to me, was the high point of it all, besides the fact that over 500,000 people tuned into my brothers. That, to me, was spectacular. That we did not feed the fools what they wanted.
Would you do a versus?
No.
I was talking about that when people were like, what verses would you want to see? I was like, I would want to see Buju, and I was trying to figure out who could you even match up with.
I don't want them something. I like more of them things. You do a symposium where you can raise with you them. You know what I mean? You have enough time to listen to the music. In these 3 to 4 months, that the world has been locked down. How many people take time to do any introspection? Be a distraction, I see. You know, I will not be a part of it. All I see is distraction left, right, and center. And the people who I think should be vocal are silent. And I've got a grave problem with that. So now, if one album spans 25 years, can you imagine the whole catalog? How long, hey. How long will that last?
Talking that talk, though.
Yo, I want to go back to Instagram, because on the song Trust, you said all over Instagram or mess with me, psych. So what aspect of social media messes with your mental health the most?
No, when I see how people utilize it, I have to ask myself, why can't my people use these tools? They say we have been fractured and fragmented and divided for so long. And if we have been given all these tools, I just come out of prison and I look at it from this angle. If we have been given all these things, TikTok, Instagram, WhatsApp, why can't we use it more positively to be more effective communicators instead of wilding out, posting your meal, posting yourself in your bathroom? So I'm saying, where's my people headed? Yes, we understand that it can be used to have fun, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when does we switch over to use it to move the race forward?
All right, we got more with Buju. When we come back, let's get into a Buju Bonton mix. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was a Buju Bonton mini mix. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Buju Bonton. Charlamagne?
A lot of people will hear you talk Buju and they'll say, oh, he's talking so positive, and he's talking about the effects of the music and the things that it makes them do. But then there was a time where when you came home, the Rasta community, they weren't sure if they would welcome you back because of your dealings, your alleged dealings with cocaine. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you this. I don't too far for some guy with tall ear, you know. Because most of them feel like a long time ago. They feel themselves and feel the youths and feel the community who was looking at that community years ago. So I don't really care about that. Because who know I? No, I's a ganja man, straight. So we don't really knock them. We don't really have no vibe against no one. Because if the wicked can do that to me and me can forgive them, why me can't forgive my brother? They can't say nothing to me if me hate them or separate me from the love from them.
Why do you think they tried to put that on you? That you have a cocaine habit?
Well, because there's two ways to destroy a man. If you go and attack him a character first, then you move him for the ultimate kill. Now, when you destroy him character, is that if you put him in a pedophile, he's done for. Easy kill. You put him at a cokehead, you know, he's done for, because his words will not be taken to be of any weight. Mm-hmm. So these character assassinations, they come before them ultimate kill shot, you know. Mm. But the world is like that. Because when you're persecuted, you shall see your friends and your enemies and your loved ones. You shall see everybody for who they are. Persecution is a revelation, you know.
That's right. What are your thoughts on the racial divide going on in America right now, especially being that your music is always uplifted and instilled pride in the Afro
community? The racial divide has also affected. I am a victim of the racial divide. You know? I was sent to prison in the United States of America on trumped up charges with 40 jury woman, corrupt judge, corrupt prosecutor, corrupt agent, corrupt drug dealer with them put by me. For try get me mixed up in them drugs business. So it's wicked. It's a wicked, wicked, wicked system, predominantly screwed towards the destruction of the black race and the black mass. But I think personally, as black people, we've been too passive for way too long, and we allow a lot of things to take place. We have a lower freedom, because we in America, most people in America think, oh, if it's not happening to me, it's okay. I don't know that. That's how they talk. When we start thinking collectively that the pain of one black man is the pain of all, and the suffering of one is the suffering of all, we have unity. We need economic change. We need sustainable growth, sustainable development, proper living infrastructure, proper schools, funding. We need so much things as a people, and it's so sad.
I wanted to ask you this earlier when you were talking about music that you could play in the car in front of your kids. Are you okay with doing like Wicked and Writer performing songs?
No, well, I play them, but I don't play them with my children. Them, you know, when I grew up, any song of me make, when I can't play in front of my children, it was never played in my house.
Yeah, I heard though. I didn't know what Wicked was when I used to listen to that, but I definitely used to sing along.
Songs like those, they are not all abroad. That would be something suggestive, you know?
Right.
So, those songs
are okay because I like people. I don't like, you must make the mind think.
Okay. Let me see what you're smoking, Bougie. Let me make sure you ain't smoking no Reggie over there. Make sure
you. Oh, trust me.
Reggie means real regular. That's what that means. He said regular. Charlamagne.
Make sure you got something decent.
Don't insult that man.
Charlamagne.
Yes, sir.
Listen up. I want to say something to you. You have a very great platform, and when I was locked up, the guys listened to you a lot. And I want to say thanks for being such a vocal person for the black community there in America. But while you're being vocal, protect yourself, because once you become vocal, you're a threat, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Trust me, I know. I want to ask you, Bougie, what do you think this moment is for, man? Like everything that's going on in 2020, the coronavirus, you know, the way people...
It's an awakening, the recalibration of mankind. What I find strange, though, Charlamagne, is the fact that now they want you to wear a mask into a bank, and before you wear a mask, in a
bank. It feels like a setup, right? What other books had a big impact on you when you was behind in that gated community?
Check out the Nagamadi text.
The Nagamadi text.
And read from selected utterance and speeches of His Imperial Majesty. So, I mean, I read a wider range of books. I've always been an avid reader because I know that's where it is written, in a volume. And because it is written in a volume, my brothers, they don't want to take up a book. They rather take up a bottle because the volume is on it too. So we who know that they won't give it to us. We got to go search and find it, whatever we want. The truth, the knowledge. We got to get up off our lazy ass and stop letting the news. We have to start be critical thinkers, independent thinkers, bounce ideas off each other without arguing and taking sides and becoming bitter enemies over positions. Right. So it's a time for us to go back to who we were as a people, return back to our God, try find Him, try seek Him, because we have gone a warring after strange and Luciferian entities. So be still, my people. I know that the Lord live, you understand? And all these things must come to pass, because if it was not so, our Father would not have told us so.
So we will live to see this world be right side up.
We will live to see this world right side up, sister. You see, wickedness cannot continue, you know, and injustice cannot continue, you know. We're making a stand, and we're lifting up our voice, and globally, they're rising up all the way across the world. When you listen to Upside Down, it is depicting exactly what's going on. And this album was made before all these things begin to unfold. Mm-hmm. So then again, I have to give thanks and praise to the true God of creation for the inspiration that He has blessed I with in this time for my people, to comfort them, to hold them meditation.
Yes, sir. Bougie, appreciate the conversation, my brother.
Thank you so much, brother.
Definitely a pleasure.
All right. No, goodness and mercy guide and protect you all. And to all the people out there, I want you to know that love the Lord and stay in prayer. Stay away from evil. Don't let the forces get you, because when you get angry, bitter, feel the wickedness, go get your gun. It's only wickedness and badness ensues. So with that being said, brothers, thank you very much for the moment in time.
My brother, blessings. Peace, King.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk August Alsina.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, so August Alsina was on Young Money Radio and he was talking to Lil Wayne, of course, about the entanglement situation. Now, here's what August Alsina had to say about why he even told his personal business.
As for what people may say or whatever, or if it's looking like I'm doing something for attention, absolutely, absolutely not. What's perplexing to me is that, you know, I never think it's anybody's business to know my business,
exactly.
Right? And my
personal
business, right? But when my personal business starts to affect my lifestyle and my livelihood, I lost, you know, partnerships and deals behind that situation because it looked to the world as if August Alsina was some, you know, reckless New Orleans that I'm just pushing up on somebody's wife.
I mean, he's doing it for publicity, but it's his story to promote. Like, when you are an artist, all of your life experiences become promo. He's got an album out. He just did a song called Entanglement and released that. He's turning Lemons into Beyonce's sixth album. It's fine. It is what it is.
Yeah, well, yeah, the song Entanglement has Rick Ross on it, right?
Yes. Yep. We're going to play some of that in a second. But what he's saying is not that. He's saying that he lost a lot of deals because of that relationship and people didn't believe him. So people thought he was just pursuing a married woman and it made him look bad. So he wanted to set the record straight on what really happened. And
I don't care why he did it. It's his story to tell.
Like, all right. And in addition to that, he's saying that he did indeed have a conversation with Will Smith and did get his blessing, even though they're saying that's not true. Here's what he said.
Everything that I spoke on in my initial interview is and was and still is my exact truth. I sat and had a conversation as two men. We had a conversation and that's what it was. And I said, we sat down as two men like, yo, boom, you have my love. You have my blessing. And that's the situation as a whole.
All right. It sucks, though, that I'm sure everybody that does an interview now is that's going to be the hot topic. But he also put out a song.
I do reference back what Jada said in the Red Table Talk interview, though. Nobody can give the blessing except for her.
Okay, and here's part of the Entanglement song, in case you haven't heard it yet. And yes, Rick Ross is on the song also.
I'm on my way, yeah. I'ma pull up when he there. He always take me and you be okay. If he see me, he gon' trust. Let's be low key, yeah. Girl, I know if I smoke your hair. Lay you down in here right there. Lay you down in here right there. Oh, oh. That ain't my girl, but I got the key. To the crib and to your car. To the crib and to her heart. Don't wanna lay for sure. She need me in her life. I don't have to lay.
That was Rick Ross's idea, actually. Rick Ross said that August should drop an album called Entanglement. But he just put out an album, so why not put out a single and then put that single on the album? That's the beauty of having those streaming services nowadays. You can add records.
That word entanglement, boy, let me tell you something.
That was the right word, though. That wasn't the word she used is actually the right word. When you look up the definition of entanglement, it is indeed a complicated or compromising relationship or situation. So technically, that was the right word.
Right.
Yeah, and then when we did definitely a complicated relationship, definitely.
And when we did the interview, I said disentangle. So I guess it is an entanglement. So, yeah, I guess that's the word people are going to be using from now on. That's crazy. All right. In addition to that, Keke Palmer has broken her silence on what happened with Strahan, Sarah, and Keke with the show being canceled. And she wrote, I want to speak on this simply because I hate the narrative that if you speak your mind as a Black person, that you will in some way be punished. I have seen this going around and at first I ignored, but in this climate, I realized this is a dangerous message to send to our generation and the generation coming up. If anything, my speaking out showed the corporations I work with how important my voice is and anyone that has a POV. The reality is I was never signed to SSK as one would a seasonal show. The business is dynamic, and instead of thinking me as a series regular, see me as a brand that works with the corporation Disney, ABC News, and this particular show I was on is no longer. That does not mean the relationship I have with them dies. That means it evolves. I hate talking about business because it can seem a bit weird and gets quite technical, but when I see such fear-mongering comments, I want to speak out so that no one ever feels or thinks that speaking out will cost them their job. I'm sure it can and has before, but let's also recognize when it has not. So she just wants to put a stop to that false narrative that because she was outspoken, the show was canceled and she was taken off. She said, no, that's not how it went.
I agree with her. You know what I'm saying? Because it is dangerous for people to think that you can't speak truth to power without being punished. But let me tell you something. Even if truth to power is spoken and you get in trouble, so what? It's good trouble. Word to John Lewis. And if you lose something, it's probably not for you anymore.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Missy. Charlamagne, we got Donkey today coming up.
Yes. And I need Senators Marco Rubio and Dan Sullivan to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with them, please.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed blessing.
So like a donkey.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Donkey of the Day for Monday, July 20th goes to Marco Rubio and Dan Sullivan, two Republican senators. Dan Sullivan representing Alaska and Marco Rubio representing Florida. What does your Uncle Charla always tell you about Florida kids? the craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida. On a scale of 1 to gunplay, Marco's about a 1.5, but he represents Florida nonetheless. All right, drop one of Clues Bombs for my guy Gunplay. Happy belated born day to my cancer brethren. I think his born day was Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. Now, back to Marco Rubio and Dan Sullivan. This weekend, when Representative John Lewis transitioned to his next assignment, the outpouring of love on social media, as you can imagine, was a lot. Everybody was showing the great civil rights icon John Lewis love, and Marco Rubio and Dan Sullivan were two of those people. Marco Rubio posted a picture with the caption, "It was an honor to know and be blessed with the opportunity to serve in Congress with John Lewis, a genuine and historic American hero." Dan Sullivan posted a picture with the caption, "It was an honor to have served alongside John for a small portion of his impressive career of service and have joined him at the opening of the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture, a years-long effort of the congressman." Great captions. Great words, great tributes, but there was one problem with both senators. Let's go to CNN for the report, please.
Here's what Rubio originally posted. Rubio and Sullivan were both honoring the late John Lewis, talking about how inspiring a figure he was, but they both posted a picture of Elijah Cummings. Cummings, of course, passed away last October. He's the last congressman to pass away before Lewis.
A lot of similarities between John Lewis and Elijah Cummings. Both black, both bald-headed, both politicians in the House of Representatives, both civil rights activists, both have transitioned. But if you claim to appreciate someone so much in your caption, if it was such an honor to serve with a person, if you have such fond memories of a person, you should at least know what the hell that person looks like. Okay, if you thought Elijah Cummings was John Lewis, then who the hell did you think John Lewis was? I really think they do stuff like this on purpose. They probably bet like, hey, I bet you $200 you wouldn't post a picture of Elijah Cummings and say RIP John Lewis. And then he goes, well, I bet you $400 you won't post that same picture with the same RIP John Lewis after I do it. I mean, come on, bro. Black people only make up 12% of Congress. I believe it's, what, 52 black people that are currently African-American representatives in Congress. I know the age-old stereotype is that white people think all black people look alike. Well, my question would be, if something is proven true, is it still a stereotype or just good old-fashioned truth? It's not even like y'all deal with black people all the time. So all you got to do is remember the black people you actually work with, guys. Come on. We all have cultural blind spots in regards to each other, but it's a big difference in having a cultural blind spot and not seeing the other person at all. If two senators don't know the difference between John Lewis and Elijah Cummings, then how invisible are the rest of us? Do they see Black America at all? What I saw this weekend with Rubio and Sullivan posting pics of Elijah Cummings and saying RIP John Lewis is just a harsh reminder that they don't see us, even when they see us. Please let Remy Ma give Marco Rubio and Dan Sullivan the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. You stupid motherfucker. Are you dumb?
Jesus.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey of the day.
Okay. Now, Envy, you had some action this weekend, right? You texted me this weekend and said you was laying on top of a white man or something.
I did not say I was laying on top of a white man. I was riding my bike.
A white man laying.
Well,
let me riding and laying.
Here you go. I was riding my bike like I do. I usually leave about 7 in the morning on the weekends to get the ride so I could get back and the family's still sleeping. And as I was riding my bike, you know, I usually ride through neighborhoods, which I don't live with huge mansions. And I'm riding through this one neighborhood and I see this white guy laying on the ground in his driveway. His car door is open. He had a box of cigarettes on the floor and I seen him laying there. So I pulled over and I'm like, yo, and he doesn't move. So I called 911. 911, what's your emergency? Hey, there's a gentleman. He's laying on the ground. He's not moving. So the 911 operator says, okay, well, can you walk over there and check to see if he has a pulse? And I said, nope. And he says, well, why not? I said, honestly, I'm a black man in this white neighborhood. And if I walk over to him and his family comes out and sees me standing over him or he wakes up, who knows? They might think I'm trying to rob him. I'm not doing it. And it was like, okay, we'll send a police call. So I turned around. I said, all right, well, I'm getting out of here. Then I started to pedal and I felt bad. I'm like, what if he's choking? What if it's something where I could have just, you know, maybe rolled him over?
You wanted to give him mouth to mouth.
I didn't say that. I did not say that. I didn't say that. I don't know. He was between 30 and 40, I would say. Between 30. I say.
Yeah, you could be the difference of him living and dying.
Right. So I turned back around, and I was nervous, but I said, all right. So I walked a little closer to him, and I just started yelling, yo. And then he woke up, and he looked frazzled. And I was like, look, bro, I was just riding my bike, man. I seen you laying here. And he just got up, and then he went back in. But
what was it, cocaine?
I don't know what it was.
White
I don't know if
mansion
he was drunk,
from stereotyping was him. Sounds like cocaine to me.
You stupid.
It was a heat wave too, right? Wasn't there a heat wave?
Yeah, but this was 7 in the morning, so it wasn't that hot yet. It was like, 85 degrees, 86 degrees.
Drunk. What was wrong with him? Something clearly wrong with him.
Could have been drunk, whatever it was. But, I felt bad because I would not, at first, there was no way I was going over to him. I was like, I'm just not. Like, the way the world is right now, I was more concerned with myself. getting back home than to worry about him who could have been dying. Like, he could have been choking. He could have been having a seizure. We don't know. I don't know.
You could have put yourself on live. Like, just so y'all see what I'm doing, I'm walking over here.
Well, yeah, but that don't mean that nothing.
Because you don't want to violate the person's
privacy. That's what people do nowadays. They go on live just to make sure.
Yeah, so let's open up the phone lines. 800-585-1051. What would you do in that situation? You ride on your bike. You see a guy laying on the ground. It doesn't look good for him. His car door's open. He got a box of cigarettes on the floor. I'm like, what do you do in that situation? Do you ring the doorbell to see if his family gets up? Do you try to wake him up? Do you check for a pulse? Or you do what I did, call 911 and be like, I'm out. Let's talk about it. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we were talking about my ride over the weekend. Now, if you don't know, I got
riding and laying. That's what this story is about. Hashtag riding and laying. Go.
No, it's not. I was riding my bike. I usually ride around 7 in the morning while the house is sleeping. So I'm riding my bike. I ride through nice areas, look at huge mansions. It's just something that motivates me. I enjoy. And as I was riding in one of these neighborhoods, I looked over and I see a man laying on the ground. His car door was open. He had a box of cigarettes on the floor and he was passed out, it looked like. So I yell, yo, nothing. So I called 911. Hey, 911, what's your emergency? I told them the address. There's a man laying here on the ground. They said, well, can you check for a pulse? I said, no. They said, well, why not? I said, honestly, because I'm a black man in this white neighborhood. And if I walk over to him and his family comes out or he wakes up, he might think I'm trying to rob him. I don't know. I'm not. So y'all come get him. And I got on my bike and I started to ride off. And then I felt bad. I'm like, damn, I could have possibly saved this man's life. What happened if he was choking, if he had a seizure, and I could have just
put him mouth to mouth, put him on his stomach. Maybe
give him mouth to mouth. Maybe help the guy
put him
out.
On his stomach, give him mouth to mouth. Yeah.
No, you don't put him on his stomach for mouth to mouth.
You said that. Well, why you want to put him on his stomach?
Because sometimes if you have food, you might have to put him on his stomach to throw the food out. I don't know.
Got you.
This guy right here with your fantasies. But anyway.
What are you talking about?
I felt bad because I was like, damn, the first thing I thought of was not to help this individual that was there, was to be like, damn, I'm in this neighborhood and I might be looked at it the wrong way. So I'm open up the phone lines, 800-585-1051. What would you do in that situation? Let's start with you, Charlamagne. What would you do in that situation?
I would have minded my black ass business. I would have called 911 as I'm pedaling away from the scene of what could be a crime, okay? And said, hey, there's a man passed out in the driveway of such and such neighborhood. They know the neighborhood is a nice neighborhood. I'm sure you said there's a bunch of mansions there, so that means the police will be there in 2 seconds. And no, I wouldn't have felt bad. I wouldn't have felt bad at all because I understand my place in the ecosystem. And as a black man, if I'm in the driveway of some white man, when that white man is passed out in the driveway and I'm standing over him, and I already know how that looks to white people, because I know how they see us. So guess what? If that man dies or something is really wrong with him and you didn't provide help, guess whose fault that is? America's. Because this wicked white supremacist system doesn't allow you the freedom to simply go help that white man without fearing something could go wrong just because you're black and he's white. So I think you handled it the right way. Personally.
Well, I did go back I got a little close and I yelled again and it frazzled him and he woke up. But, the first thing I was like, nah, I'm not going over there. What would you do?
I wouldn't have did that. I wouldn't have went over there and yelled at him. Because what if you'd have yelled at him and he just look up and say, oh, black man, and pull out a gun. Bow.
You're right.
I ain't got time for that. I'd have kept pedaling and dialing 911 as I'm riding away from the scene of what could be a crime.
Yeah.
I will definitely call 911. I mean, that's a hard one to say, but I feel like my instincts would have had me try to help in any way possible.
I don't believe
stay
you.
There. I would.
I don't believe you. I saw an interview one time where Angela Yee said, my mom and dad told me I could never leave my stoop in Brooklyn. So I was sitting on my stoop, and one day my friend was getting jumped, but I didn't help because I couldn't leave my stoop.
Well, she didn't get jumped. It was a one-on-one fight. Oh. But, and it was my neighbor that was doing it. She wasn't dead. I didn't think she was dead on the ground. And I was like, and I was like 7 years old. But I think now you don't want somebody to die. Would have felt terrible. So I would have called 911 and I would have stayed until they got there. But I understand it's different. Like, I'm a woman, so I don't know if they would have come. If first instinct would have been to think I did something. Who knows? I can't say. Right. But I also think women might have a different type of instinct.
As a black man, we got a different type of instinct, too. And our instinct says, oh, white man in the driveway, man down, 911. I'm riding through this neighborhood on my bike. I just passed this such and such house. There was a man in the driveway. Could you go back and check on him? Nope. I'm black. He's white. I don't know what the problem is. I don't want nobody to think I did anything. But this is the address. Have a nice
day. All right. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Hey, man, what's up, bro? This is Tim.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, guys.
What would you do in that situation, bro? You're riding your bike. You see a man passed out, a white man passed out on the ground. You're black. Do you go help? Keep it moving.
Man, no. Man, I fell on my back and kept going. And like, I didn't see one thing, man.
You wouldn't even call 911?
No. Look, I'm going to say a prayer. Keep going.
Damn it, man.
I'll call 911 if you want to.
Why you can't be mad at this man? That's what happens when you're a black man in America. We don't have the freedom to simply go help that white man without fearing something could go wrong. That's America's fault. I'm not mad at this brother for feeling that way.
800-585-1051. I was riding my bike. I seen a white man. He was laying on the ground. He looked like he was passed out. What would you do in that situation?
Hashtag
I called police.
Riding, hashtag laying.
You better stop it. I called the police, but they asked me to check for a pulse, and I wouldn't, because I'm like, if I go over there and I'm standing over that man and his family comes out and sees me, what are they going to think? I'm trying to rob him? You know, if he wakes up, what is he going to think? I'm trying to rob him? So I wouldn't. Yep. I was like, nah, I'm not doing it. Like, I called police. You better hurry up over here. What would you do? 800-585-1051 is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about a situation over the weekend. I was riding my bike, and I was riding through a neighborhood where huge mansions. Where I like to ride because I just like to look at different things when I'm riding. And there was a man passed out on the ground. His car door was open. His cigarettes were on the floor. And I called 911. I yelled. He didn't move. I called 911. They said, check for a pulse. I said, no. They said, why? I said, because I'm a black man in this white neighborhood. And if I'm standing over him, who knows what he's going to think, you know? What would you do in that situation? Would you do it? I left, and then I went back, and I felt bad. I went back, and I just started yelling, yo, yo, yo. And then he kind of, he got frazzled and woke up. But what would you do? Hello, who's this?
Charlene. Now, Envy, you know, I understand your concern and things like that, but, you know, we don't leave people on the side of the roads like that. You know what I'm saying? It's good that your conscience told you to go back, but don't do that. Don't be leaving people like that no more.
See, I told you, women, we react differently, I think.
Yeah.
You know how many police officers have killed the black person who called the police because something was wrong? You know how many people who have been the victim, who became the victim? At the hands of the police. They don't look at us in that way.
All I was doing is riding my bike, and I'm thinking to myself, what if they thought I tried to rob him? Or like the lady the other day, she was riding her bike, and they called the police on her, and the guy said, yeah, she was looking at to see what garage doors were open. I got 5 kids and a wife to take care of. I got a family, and I'm not playing around. I called the police, and, you know, I was scared. I ain't gonna lie. I'm not helping somebody out. I honestly don't know what's gonna happen next. Nope.
That was the right thing to do, and your fears were justified. It was a good thing to call the police, but me, myself, being a woman, I think I would have went over and walked over to him.
Okay. I think the things we have to worry about aren't the same as the things that you have to worry about.
That is not true. Black women have gotten killed by police officers, attacked by police officers when they've called the police. There's been stories like that in the news recently. A black woman called the police because something happened at a location, and then the cops come over there and arrest the woman or assault the woman. That happens all the time.
I just think with our instincts, first of all, I think if it's a woman and a man, and a man's laying on the ground and a woman calls the cops, I don't think instinctively, like, they'll think we overpowered a man. You know, the same way that it happens with a black man, I don't think it happens. Not saying it never happens, but I don't think it's the same.
But if you flip it, right, and I thought about this too, right? Let's say, Charlamagne, your daughter's outside on the floor and you see a white guy leaning over your daughter. You don't know what happened. What's your first reaction? It ain't going to be like, hey, what's going on? You're going to tackle him. If you got your pistol, you might shoot at him, because all you're thinking about is somebody that knocked your daughter on the floor, correct?
Man, yes. And I don't know why y'all keep acting like black people have the freedom to simply go help that white man without fearing something could go wrong. It happens all the time just because somebody is black and just because that person is white. Always. Like, it's so many stories about that in the news about situations like that go left. People call the police because they're the victim, and then the police come, and then they become the victim. No way.
Let's go to another line. Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up, man? It's Zoe calling from Hampton, Virginia. Michelle Road, man.
757, what's up, Zoe?
All right, ain't a whole lot, man. Hey, look, similar story to that, man. You know, a couple of years ago on my way to work, the sun had just come up, man. I just so happened to find a gun, you know, side the road, picked it up. You know, first I'm thinking, leave it alone. You know, mind my business. But, you know, I'm thinking I got kids. I'm a coach. You know, this could be the one that take one of these young kids away from here. You know, so, you know, man with no record, I say, I'm going to call a non-emergency number, man. I call a non-emergency number, and I told them before they arrived to the job, hey, I'm a black man. The job looked at me sideways, you know, like, why are you telling them that? You know, but mind you, who I work with, you know, so, and the police show up. You know, they look at the gun, they get serial numbers, and they say, hey, okay, thank you, sir. We'll take your phone number down. Better believe they called me at the end of that day about 4:30 and asked me to come in with my ID, fingerprint me, mugshot me, you know, all behind me finding this weapon.
Yeah.
You know, and so and that could have went left. You know, I don't know what had happened with this gun. You know what I mean? But I'm thinking of the kids, man. You know, you understand me? I'm thinking of this could be the one to take my own kid away from here. You know, now, mind you, the mentality 20 years ago, I'm like, oh, man, you know, here's a lick. You know, but now it's different, you know. And so, but that incident embarrassed me more, you know, than me being arrested, because I'm thinking I'm doing the right thing. But now I have to go turn myself in. Not turn myself in, but mugshot me, fingerprint me, ID me, stay in contact. And I ask them to do one thing. When you find the rightful owner, because it come back clean, when you find the owner, could you contact me? Never did it happen. You know, never did the owner contact me. Not looking for anything, but at the same time, just, you know, this is what happened for finding your pistol. You know, and so, again, you know, similar to what Envy was saying earlier, you don't know what to do in certain situations like that, you know, and that's
I do. mind your black ass business.
You're right, okay, Charlamagne, you know, but again, I'm thinking of the kids. I'm thinking of my area. I'm thinking of who I am as a person. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, most of the time, that thing probably would have been picked up and would have went through Dick, Tom, and Harry hands. But I tried to do the right thing, and it led back to me getting fingerprinted and the whole nine, man.
And you know what's crazy about that happened to me in a similar situation. I was leaving a club one night on Queens Boulevard, and there was a guy laying on the floor. It was a hit-and-run accident. And I called the police. And I told them exactly, hey, there's a guy laying on the floor, and they did the same exact thing. They wanted to know. They wanted to see my car to see if I hit him. They wanted me to come down for questioning and all that. And they got to the point, I'm sitting there like, I'm trying to help somebody, but you putting me through the ringer like I'm the
one
that did it.
You know why? Because when you're black in America, a black man in America, you're always a suspect. And the funny part is, it's white people listening to The Breakfast Club right now and can't believe we wouldn't help this person in the driveway, as if the system is designed to be fair to us. You have no idea what it is to be black in America. Your experience in America is totally different than ours. That is totally different than ours. And that is absolutely one of those times while, yes, you may want to do the right thing, but you always got to think about the white thing. And that white thing is systemic racism and white supremacy. And that's the mindset black people have to have in this country just to survive. We don't have the freedom to simply just go help. No, we don't. Sorry, not in that situation. The situation you were in, absolutely not. Riding through a neighborhood that's probably predominantly white, a white man passed out in his driveway, your black ass on a bike at 6 in the morning, you already look suspicious, okay? Little biker shorts on. You know what I'm saying? Six in the morning. What the hell are you doing riding a bike?
Did the cops ever call you? Did the cops ever call you back after that?
No. Well, the cop pulled up, and when the cops pulled up, I told him what happened. And I said, the guy woke up, the guy got up, and the cop was like, well, you know, show me what house. I'm like, well, it's the house, make a right, and then your first left. And then I took off. I mean, as soon as you call the police, they have your number. So, right. I mean, it's not a problem. I don't know what happened. The guy woke up. I just kept it moving. I got out of Dodge.
It's America's fault, man. It's this wicked white supremacist system. It doesn't allow us the freedom to simply just go help that white man without fearing something could go wrong just because we're black and they're white. It's just the way it is. Sorry.
All right. Well, we got rumors on the way.
Let's talk about Megan Thee Stallion. She has spoken out after getting shot twice in the foot, and we'll tell you what she's saying right now on Twitter.
Now, all listen, right, we'll that's another prime example. Megan Thee Stallion shot in the foot. They had her get out the car, put her hands up in the air, and walk backwards, and she's bleeding.
Yeah.
I thought that was crazy.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll get into that. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
So by now, we all know that Megan Thee Stallion was shot in the foot two times. Well, she went on Twitter to address what was going on, and I know we discussed this up here, and I was saying I'm sure she's very traumatized by everything and is not ready to speak on it, but she will when she's ready. And she tweeted out, "Black women are so unprotected, and we hold so many things in to protect the feelings of others without considering our own. It might be funny to y'all on the internet and just another messy topic for you to talk about, but this is my real life, and I'm real life hurt and traumatized." So people have been making all kinds of memes and jokes, but it's not funny.
Well, social media is not the place for sympathy. And that's the truth to the matter. And we got to stop acting like social media is the real world. And I totally understand, you know, what it is that she's going through. But if she's going to social media thinking that anybody's going to be on there giving her prayers and support, that will be few and far between the memes and the jokes. That's just the reality of life.
Right.
I don't think, and she hasn't been extensively talking about anything on her social media. I guess she let people know because they were saying she got arrested. So she wanted to set the record straight on that. And then with this as well, you know, it is. So hopefully that made some people think, you're right, it's not funny. Someone, a black woman gets shot in the foot and that could have ended tragically for her. So, you know, just check y'all jokes. All right. And T-Pain, in the meantime, went on social media and he said, all right, so what's the temperature on Tory? Because I was just about to drop a song with him and Ty Dolla $ign. And so I guess after everything that happened with Tory Lanez, and nothing's been confirmed yet, but
yeah, what is
a lot
the
of people said no.
Tory? Is it a heat wave? Seriously, what is the temperature on Tory? I don't know. We don't really know what happened.
Right. Yeah, until we know what happened, you know, we can't say right now. There's allegations, there's rumors. But this true story has not come out yet. And they say that Meg Thee Stallion is not cooperating with authorities on that part. So
I still want to know why police had Megan Thee Stallion exit the car with her hands up and walk backwards while she was the one shot in the foot. I still don't understand how the
that was kind of crazy.
Gets treated like a suspect. I don't get it.
All right. Now, Nick Cannon, they're saying his daytime talk show is getting postponed after all of the controversy that he's been in. They said it won't premiere in the fall as originally planned. It's been shelved now until fall 2021, about a year after its original premiere date in September. They said after conversations with Nick, we do believe that his public comments don't reflect his true feelings and his apology is heartfelt and sincere. We want to continue the healing process as he meets with leaders of the Jewish community and engages in a dialogue with our distribution partners to hear their views. We are standing by Nick in our hope that by fall 2021, he will be able to use extraordinary talent and platform to entertain, enlighten, and unite his audience on the Nick Cannon Talk Show.
That's good. Cancel culture over cancel culture.
All right. In the meantime, Nick Cannon was on social media and he shared a photo of himself and Ryan Bowers, a rapper who reportedly committed suicide. And he wrote, just when I thought it couldn't get any worse, 2020 is definitely the most effed up year I've ever witnessed. After waking up and barely rising from my own dark contemplation of continuing my physical existence on this planet, this powerful warrior actually had the balls to do it.
Yeah, that's horrible. And that one line right there, that bothered me. Like, it bothered
the balls
me
to do it.
And I don't like that the young man committed suicide. I don't like that Nick Cannon is contemplating suicide. As I said earlier in the show, I pray for the spirit of suicide off everybody, and I want everybody to go out there and seek therapy and healing. But Yeah, I don't like that. Had the balls to do it.
Yeah,
I didn't like that.
But that's coming from somebody who is thinking about suicide, and he feels like he does not have the balls to do it. So he's coming from a side of feeling hurt and feeling like I want to do it, but I just can't. So that's he's coming from a side of hurt. It's not coming from a side of anything else but that.
Why not have the balls to live? You know what I'm saying? Like,
because he's hurt and he's thinking about suicide. You know what I mean?
He is in
he's,
a dark
he's coming
place.
From a place of being hurt. He's coming from a dark place.
Yeah, I just don't like that term, had the balls to do it, because it almost makes it sound like it was something good to do.
You know no, because he's feeling like I don't have he's feeling like I don't have the balls to do it. He's like, you know what I mean? He's almost saying
good.
I wish I had no, that is good, but that's what good. That's the side he's coming from though. You know what I mean? No, he's coming from that side.
He's venting, so yeah. That's his feeling. Yeah. All right, now
well,
Chris Rock.
I'm praying for healing for everybody, man. Everybody go to therapy.
It's a lot
absolutely.
Going on.
Yes.
And Chris Rock just got his first tattoo at the age of 55. So he was with his 16-year-old daughter, and she got a matching tattoo as well. And they shared photos of the experience on her Instagram stories. You guys all have tattoos, so it's a crown. It's a small king logo. You do all of them?
All of them. I got Wolverine on my arm holding a microphone, Wolverine from the X-Men. I got Charlemagne in old English letters. I got what's supposed to be evil. So it says, like, lust, greed, envy, hate, and it's all going up in flames, and it says only.
You got my name on you? You got envy on
wow.
you?
Wow.
Shut up. I didn't know
right
that.
After lust?
Now, I will say my okay. never so deep tattoo means a lot to me because my mentor, one of my mentors, Dr. Robert Evans and his son, Bless, those are my partners. Love them to death. But other than that, I can get rid of all of these. I am going to get rid of these one day, actually. When I get a little,
all right, and
get a little money. And
last but not just as a follow-up from last week, James Harden with that face mask that he had on that people were upset about, the Blue Lives mm-hmm. Matter mask. Apparently, he is saying he was not trying to make a political statement. He said, I honestly wore it just because it covered my whole face and my beard. It's pretty simple. So he did not know the symbolism behind it.
I knew that.
Yeah, we figured that. But he's finally said it from his own mouth, you know, it's just so people who were thinking that he was supporting that
can
know he did not know.
I said, it gotta be council culture, not cancel culture. Sometimes people just don't know. I can tell James Harden didn't know what the hell he had on his face. I didn't even know what he had on. Did y'all know what he had on?
Nope, I said that. Bad. I know what it was. I was like, I know. I didn't know. He didn't know.
Nah,
all right.
No
well,
idea.
I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, shout to Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice mixes up next. Happy birthday to Pop Smoke. Today would have been Pop Smoke's 21st birthday, I believe. He'd have been 21.
That's crazy. Let me tell you something. When you hear stories like that, you better understand that age is a blessing. Okay? All you people out there that be lying about your age, you better give yourself them goddamn years because Pop Smoke didn't make it to 21. Think about that, man. Where would you have been in life if you'd have passed away at 21 years old and got killed at 20? Come on, man. God bless Pop Smoke. And remember, age is a blessing. You should be counting every single year. Get as old as you possibly can.
That's right. So let's start the mix off with some Pop Smoke. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, shout to Buju Banton for joining us this morning.
Yes. New album is out now, Upside Down.
Very, very, very good interview. I enjoyed having conversations with my man Buju. Buju seems like he's tapped into a higher level of consciousness, and that's what we need right now.
Yes, and that album, Tell Shiloh, the anniversary, they just celebrated that too. So, and it went gold. 25 years later?
25 years later. That's right. Mm-hmm. All right, when we come back, we got the positive note. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note for the people?
I do. And the positive note of the day comes from the great Harriet Tubman. Okay? Harriet Tubman once warned everybody, never wound a snake. Kill it before it kills you.
Breakfast Club, bitches! Y'all finished or y'all done?
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.